The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Today is Mother's Day, and what a lovely coincidence. It's also Ascension Sunday, and that's a lovely bit of coincidence, I think. At least I hope you'll see that. And here's another wonderful thing to note. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church. One of our New Testament readings today comes from Acts 1. Let me read this to you, Acts 1, 4 and following. It's the account, or at least one of them, of the ascension of Christ. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Question for you. To whom did Jesus give the gift of the Holy Spirit? Or put another way, for whom was the gift of the Holy Spirit? We just read a passage where Jesus said, "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Who's you? The word is plural. All y'all. Not just Joel Osteen. Okay? Not just some TV preacher or the guy down the street at another church. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We are the you. In the third century, there was terrible oppression of the church. Waves upon waves of persecution emanated from Rome, especially under the very evil emperor Diocletian. You may have heard that name before. That emperor famously, get this, that emperor famously revoked all of the citizenship privileges of Christians if they would not submit to the traditional Roman religious practices. Nothing new under the sun. Sometimes I wonder if we're headed in that kind of direction these days. It was at that time that many Christians were martyred. And it was also at that time that many Christians fell away from the faith. They either renounced their faith or they fell away from it. And by the way, that caused a great problem in the early church. After Christianity was reinstated, in fact, not only reinstated, but made the religion of the land, the church had a difficult time dealing with what to do with the people who had renounced their faith. There was a church leader whose name was Novatius. He was a hardliner, and he said, "They are to be cut off. They are not to be allowed back in the church." The church really had to wrestle with this. And one of the people who wrestled with this was a fellow by the name of Cyprian. We've read him before. He was the leader of the church at Carthage. And in defense of the unity of the church, and as a matter of fact, writing on behalf of those who wanted to extend grace to those who had renounced their faith, Cyprian writes this: "You cannot separate a ray of light from the sun, because its unity does not allow division. You can break a branch from a tree, but when broken, it will not be able to bud. Cut a stream off from its source, and it dries up. It is the same with the church. Filled with the light of the Lord, it shines its rays over the whole world, yet everywhere it is one and the same light that shines, and the body is not divided. The church's fruitfulness spreads branches over the whole world. It sends forth her rivers, freely flowing, yet the source is one, and she is one mother, plentiful in fruitfulness. We are born from her womb, nourished by her milk, given life by her spirit, And then this phrase, no one can have God for his father who does not have the church for his mother. Augustine, about 100 years later, said essentially the same thing, but from a different perspective. He says, he cannot have God for his father who will not have the church for his mother. Do you ever think about the church being your mother? Can you do Christianity without a meaningful relationship with the church? A lot of people who claim to be spiritual, you've heard this, right? I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. A lot of people who claim to be spiritual have absolutely no meaningful relationship with the church. Same with people who say, all I need is me and my Bible and the Holy Spirit. You hear somebody say that, and they have no meaningful relationship with the church, you can bet your bottom dollar that they probably don't read their Bible very much or have any relationship with the Holy Spirit. The sad truth is, a lot of people who claim to be Christians simply have no real connection to the church. How many times have I heard people say, hey, I can commune with the Lord on the golf course? Or I can just worship God when I'm up in the mountains. I'm sure you can. But God didn't leave through the person and work of Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, just to you. God left the gift of the Holy Spirit to us, to all y'all, to the church. The church. Now, I'm not talking about the building or the organization or the programs. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Yes, we have the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as individuals. Of course we do. The Holy Spirit is a gift of Jesus, and yet so is the church. You ever thought about that? Jesus built the church. Ephesians says that he loved the church so much that he gave himself up for her. He gave his life for the church. And it is in the body of Christ, the church, that along with our brothers and sisters in Christ and with God's word, we together best discern the voice and the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? What did Jesus say in Matthew 16, 18? On this rock I will build my, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In Scripture, the church is always said to be the house of God, the house that God is building through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Not the church building, but rather the people. 1 Peter 2:5 says this, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In the closing verses of Ephesians 2, Paul says this, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. There's that word again. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And listen to this, and in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us. The church. Mother's Day can be hard for some people. Maybe you had a perfectly wonderful mother like I did. She was almost completely perfect. Although, she said, you're not going to believe this, she said that you don't have to use a whole cup of sugar in the Kool-Aid. Yes, you do. It's not any good without it. She also said that we're not going to drink orange juice in this house like it's water. And she also, when I wanted a stick of gum, would cut it in half. Did you ever have a mom who split gum? And yes. When I left the house, I did three things. I drank orange juice like water. I used a whole cup of sugar for the Kool-Aid. And I enjoyed a whole stick of gum. Other than that, my mom was perfect. Maybe you didn't have a great mom. Mother's Day is hard for some people. Maybe you were a perfectly wonderful mother, and yet your kids do not honor you. But I'd like for all of us today, regardless the health and ability of our earthly mothers, to think this day about the church being our mother. I think Cyprian was right. No one can have God for his father who does not have the church for his mother. I think he's right about that. So let's do some thinking about what good mothers do. They give birth. Sheila just said this morning she ought to have a special day for giving birth twice. I agree. Moms give life. My mom had a very hard labor with me. I don't remember the circumstances, but she had to be bedridden for many months, and then I came a month early even, and then was born with pyloric stenosis, where they had to do an operation on my little tummy when I was about 3 or 4 weeks old. It was a hard birth. Moms give birth. Sometimes it's really hard. Maybe even mostly it's really hard. The same is true for the church. The church births new Christians. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Oh, mercy. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again." And unlike the physical birth, a spiritual birth is something that renews and happens in some ways again and again throughout our spiritual life. What else do moms do? Mothers bring children into the family. At my house, very famously, before I came along, Mother and Dad were getting a little bit older when they decided that they wanted to have me. I was not a surprise. At least that's what they say. And so they got the other kids together and they said, "How important do you think it is that parents be young when they have..." I mean, we're younger now and we've kind of had our youth with you. "How important is that?" And they said, "Oh, it's really important. You shouldn't have any more kids." Well, they did anyway, and I'm glad. Mothers bring children into the family, and so it is with the church. Galatians 3:26 and following says this, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." The church brings new children into the family like mamas do. What else do moms do? Mothers nurture and feed us. Sometimes moms give us stuff we don't want to eat that's best for us. I still remember the smell of liver and onions on the stove coming home from elementary school, and I knew it was going to be a horrible night. Why? Because I would be required to eat that. Mother says, "It's good for you." And I said, "I don't know why I have to eat the food equivalent of a car's oil filter." She said, "It has lots of iron." And I said, "I'd rather eat the iron." But Mother knew best. She fed us well. She nurtured us. And that's the way it is with the church. 1 Peter 2:2 says this, "Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Grow up in your salvation. And we read in 2 Timothy 3, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." I have the privilege of wonderful memories of sitting on my mother's lap while she read me Bible stories. Now, we both had a really, kind of an odd sense of humor. I loved those stories of Elijah and Elisha, and she would read about the bears eating the children. I loved that. You know the story in the Bible about the bears eating the children? You should read it sometime. 2 Kings, Elisha, the prophet, is walking along the road, You don't know this story. Oh, if you had Lois Alford for your mama, you would. Elisha is walking along the road, and some youths make fun of him and say, "Hey, look, there's Baldy," or "Go on up, Baldy." And Elisha calls down the wrath of God, and bears come out of the wood. A bear, she-bear, I think, comes out of the wood and eats the children. I loved that story. I also remember one night being confronted by evil. Did you ever wrestle with the devil? I woke up. I was scared to death. I went and got Mama. I said, "You got to wake up. We got to pray." And I had my Bible with me. And she said, "Mark Christopher Alford, don't you use the Bible like some lucky rabbit's foot. Let's open it up and see what it says." And we prayed, and she prayed with me. What else do mamas do? Well, mamas teach us how to behave, and moms keep us accountable, and they correct us when needed. Now, in my personal experience, I didn't require a lot of correction. I was the mayor of Nerdsville growing up. My other friends were out playing sports. I was marching around with an ostrich plume on my head during halftime. And I didn't have a dating life. And I got to the end of my high school experience, and I got this cutie-doo little girlfriend. And I didn't have a curfew because they didn't even imagine that I would have a girlfriend, much the need for a curfew. But one night, I stayed out way too late. It was after 1 o'clock in the morning. And I drove that lemon yellow 1971 Ford Pinto home very slowly up the gravel driveway in order not to, for the crunch, you know, the sound, to wake up Mom and Dad. And as I came down the hill, I noticed that the front room light was on. And I came up around the back of the house, and I got a little closer, and I saw that my mother was sitting there rocking. And I got a little closer to the back door and peered in and saw that she had the Bible open on her lap. And when I got inside, let me just put it this way, there was some correcting and some rebuking that went on. So it is with the church, or at least it ought to be. One of the last things American evangelicals want today is to be accountable to anybody. That's one of the reasons why people claim to be Christians, but they don't have any real meaningful relationship with the church. I'm not going to be accountable. I'm not. You can't make me. You can't make me. Galatians 6 says this, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." So it is with the church. Good church, good fellowship, because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, all of us together ought to do some correcting. And what is it they say? Accountability. We have to be accountable to one another. And listen carefully to 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. "Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions," Paul to Timothy, "so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God." And listen to this, "the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." Did you ever notice that before? What does Paul call the church? He calls it God's household. Well, we already looked at that. We're living stones being brought together, and together we're discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit. But Paul goes on to say that the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. I wonder if you've ever seen that verse before. We ought to honor the church. It's our mother, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Before the church had the Bible as we know it today, they had the church and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible as we know it today doesn't come together for 350 more years after Paul said these words to Timothy. What did they have in the meantime? What did they have to work with in the meantime? Letters, creedal statements, the rule of faith, the early church called it. And they had the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And thank God they were discerning that together in the church, the pillar and foundation of the truth. In the early church, did you know this? They would gather weekly for worship, and they would all be there unless otherwise hindered. What would they be hindered by? Imprisonment or illness. And the deacons of the church would take communion to those who were not able to be there that day. They did not give up the habit of meeting together, as Paul says. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, "Brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter." Where does all that happen? It happens in the context of the body of Christ, our mother. And finally, mothers equip us for the world. My mama did. My mother was a child whisperer. She was so good with kids, still is. She has grandchildren and great-grandchildren coming to see her. I asked her one time, why do you never run? She was a kindergarten teacher for years. I got all of that. There was a song for everything. I hated it at the time, love it now. I said, I noticed that you never do chase after a child. Why do you not do that? She said, well, it's demeaning to me, and I know at some point they will also come back within arm's length. Mamas equip us. She equipped me. And so it is with the church. Listen to this extended passage from Ephesians 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why God says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. All y'all. The church. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower depths of the earth? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all y'all, reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does his work. To whom did Jesus give the gift of the Holy Spirit? The church. How best that happens, the discernment, the listening, the accountability, the feeding, the nurturing, the birthing, it happens in the church, our mother. Cyprian says, you cannot separate a ray of life from the sun. Filled with the light of the Lord, it shines its rays over the whole world, yet everywhere it is one and the same light that shines. So it is with the church. We are born from her womb, nourished by her milk, given life by her Spirit. No one can have God for his father who does not have the church for his mother. So happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our mother, the church, for the way we are fed and nurtured and birthed and brought into the family and corrected and equipped. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that when you ascended, you did not leave us alone, but you gave us your body, the church, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We give you thanks. We honor you this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.